Let me ask you all a question. Because this is an eating weekend, right? Okay, let me say it. For me, this is an eating weekend. I am going to eat a lot. And I've been a vegan for the past, well, since last February. Long story. I'm not going to be a vegan today. That's not going to happen. I mean ribs today. Judge me if you want to. It won't bother me. Your judgment will not bother me, okay? What is a food that you cannot have one of? You remember that Lay's commercial? Bet you can't eat just one, right? What is that food for you? Popcorn? You can't just have one kernel of popcorn. Why would you do that? That's not even popcorn. Popcorn is a community. Go ahead. Cookies. What kind? What kind are you imagining in your hair right now, though? Yeah. See, that's what I'm talking about. Brownies. What else? Chicken and dressing. Doritos. What flavor? Nacho cheese, standard, straight up. Okay. Chocolate, dark, milk, white chocolate. White chocolate isn't chocolate, I don't think. Is that chocolate? What are we saying on this? Reese's peanut butter cups. For me, that food is the salt and pepper pistachios from Trader Joe's. Mmm. I just tasted them. I don't even know if I want to preach anymore. That I can eat one of those, and next thing I know, I'm sticking my hand in a bag full of shells. In another way, Garrett's popcorn. Oh, my goodness. No. It might not be food. It might be something else. It might be, I know what it is. It's binge-watching TV. You ever turned on a show? I'm just going to watch 30 minutes of this because I got to get up and be somewhere. I got to get something done today. I got this whole list. I'm just going to watch one little show. And the next thing you knew, you had spent the entire day watching NCIS. Yes, God. NCIS. Yes. Right? Like, it just happens so quickly, where the next thing you know, you look up like, wait, what happened? How did we get here? That's the sentiment in Romans, in this text we're about to read. It's Romans 8, is from 12 to 17. I'll read it for you. They are a Christian community living in Rome, and something's going on. And in Romans 8, usually what happens is, with Paul and letters, Paul wouldn't just write a letter to say like, hey, how y'all doing? Just checking in. Everything cool? No. Paul would write a letter because somebody wrote Paul a letter first and said, hey, Paul, you need to know something. They tripping over here. They doing this and this and this and this. And when you came here and preached and converted all of us and got us saved, you told us not to do any of that stuff. So Paul, they were in my community, they were snitches, right? They would call and write a letter to Paul and they would say, something's going on. And then Paul would write the letter back. So all of these letters that we can attribute to Paul, some we can't, that's all that we can attribute to Paul are responses to problems. Does that make sense for everybody? So in verse 12 of chapter 8, it says, so then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. You have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, when we cry, Creator, God, Mother, God, when we cry that, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. In fact, if we suffer with him, if we suffer with him so that we might also be glorified with him, the word of God for the people of God. And so they've got this issue. And for the longest, people have read that text. I know it's too hot to do a Bible study, but people have read that text and said, oh, flesh, body, I know what they're doing. Wink, wink, right? And that's not, I mean, that might be included in it, but that's not what this text is talking about. The ways of the flesh are a little bit more familiar to us. They leave their fear and then they go back into their fear once Paul has left and they are in Rome. They experience the Spirit of God. Oh, Pentecost, my goodness. And then they revert back. William Kincaid says that God gives us a freedom that many of us are not able to bear. We get a freedom that many of us are not able to bear, and that word able distinguishes this for me. For the Romans, they were taking on Christ, taking on a new consciousness, a new attitude, a new way of understanding and interpreting the world. They were engaging the marketplace. They were engaging the old gods, not just the Roman gods and Caesar, but they were engaging the old gods, the old things that they made meaning out of. And they were saying, you know what? When we go back to Rome, it can't be done. I can't live in Rome and still be a Christian. I can't do it. And so they made a decision. And their decision is familiar to us. You know what they tried to do? They tried to do both. They said, we'll be Christian. Yeah, no, we're not going to stop being Christian together. But then when we're out here, we're going to act just like everybody else. Flesh and spirit. The old flesh, the new spirit. They decided that they were going to serve both God and Caesar. And when serving God and Caesar got too tough, they just figured, you know what, we can't do it. There's too much to lose. Because when a choice is to be made, most often, you know what we choose? Survival. Easy. Doable. That's what we choose. It's not a Roman problem. It is the way many of us order our lives, our little lives that we've established for ourselves, our ways of doing things, our ways of seeing the world, of interpreting things. We've established it. We've said it over and over, and even over and against the life that the Spirit of God would have for us. When our best isn't good enough to survive, we change. And usually it works. When we change, good things happen. We change. But have you ever looked up? Maybe after a week, maybe after 6 months, maybe after a few years, and said, what happened to me? I used to be this person. I distinctly remember I used to be this person. What happened that now I'm, what happened? How did I gain 20 pounds so fast? How did that happen? What happened? That's a joke, and it might be taken lightly. It might be, but it's not to be condemned or judged. There have been many times, and you all will feel me, there have been many times where I've tried my best, my absolute best, given my best effort, put everything that I could put into that effort, organized my life and fasted and prayed and studied and did everything and then did the thing, and then the response was, eh. There are times when we try our best and it's shut down. And that is painful. And in the midst of that pain, we can act like, oh, I don't care what haters say. I don't care what people say about me. I don't care what anybody thinks about me. Lie if you want to. I've done it for years. Oh, I don't care what anybody thinks about me. But when we try our best, we can be cut. Amen? We can be cut. We can be hurt when we've given our best effort. Now, if we didn't try that hard, then it's like, okay, you didn't like it. Well, I didn't really like it that much either, right? But when we've like really like, oh my goodness, here's my thesis. Here's my book. Here's my album. And then people are like, good for you, Julian. You and all that rapping stuff. Way to go. Have you heard it? We change, and it happens to musicians and artists all the time. The moment you see that people don't like what you're doing, what do? You go do what everybody else is doing. You do it like them. When being black isn't good enough, people say, you know what? Okay, forget it. When being a woman isn't good enough, okay, forget it. Just change. Do what you got to do to make it. But there's a difference between a change that is a mutation and a change that is a transformation. Say that word, mutation. A mutation is an unwelcome change that alters the course. We got some doctors in here who could talk more about mutations, right? It's an unwelcome change that alters the course. A transformation is a change that is part of the course. A mutation, if you want to know if your change, that person you're becoming is a mutation and not a transformation, then just look at the fruits of the Spirit. This is an easy way to do it. The fruits of the Spirit are what? They're in Galatians 5:22, I think. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If you're changing, but you're losing these things, it's a mutation. If you're changing and making new decisions and making new opportunities and new relationships, but losing these, it's not a transformation. It's a mutation. The Spirit calls us not to be still, but to be constantly shifting, constantly changing, not mutating, but evolving, transforming, ever aiming for the highest self. What did Paul say later in Romans 8, I think, do not conform to this world, but be renewed by the transforming of your mind. Do not conform as things change around you, as the Romans did, to say, oh, this is going to be too hard to be loving, to be forgiving in this situation. They don't deserve my forgiveness. I'm not going to do that. No, do not conform to those patterns. As others get attitudes with you, as hate increases, as intolerance increases, as ignorance increases, matters of the flesh. Fight these things, church. Fight these things. Feel them happening around you and inside of you and fight them. Say, this is making me less loving. Fight that. It is making me less kind. It is making me less faithful. I'm losing my self-control right now. Fight that. The challenge for us is to be unflinching in the midst of whatever's going on right now. To think about your situation and to think about all that it asks you to do right now, to finish it or to live fully in that. To be unflinching about who one is. Not unwilling to change. You will always be changing. That is the point of this life, but unflinching about what matters most. They were so worried about life in Rome that they forgot about life in Christ. And so too it is for us. We are so anxious to use this holiday to do nothing that we forget our soldiers. And then when we see them on the streets, they become a burden for us. So anxious to achieve in life that we risk our basic humanity. So worried about ourselves that we forget what it means to live in community. The Spirit is not just here to affirm us and call us beloved and remind us that we are all children of God. The Spirit of God is here to challenge us as well. It's here to push us. It's here to be a dangerous presence in your life. The Spirit is dangerous. It'll have you doing things you didn't think you would ever do. And still we must go. And yourself will die as many times as it is transformed into a higher self. This is what we want. This is what resurrection is, that we are constantly being transformed, that an old self dies and a new higher self emerges in its place. Allow yourself to be transformed. Don't just hear the Spirit of God or hear us talk about it in this season of Pentecost and say, oh, the Spirit of God loves me and God loves me and all that I am. That's true, comma, and it is pushing us to be transformed. It is pushing us to embrace the unknown that lies ahead. Does anybody have some unknown in their life? Don't run from it. Embrace it. In courage. In love. Know that God is with you. Know that God is with you. Howard Thurman once prayed, God, give me the strength to be free. Give us the strength to be free. And let us trade our freedom for nothing. Let us discern when we are transforming and when we are mutating. May you be so present in this life that you never need to ask, how did I get here? Ever again. Amen. In this silence, what transformation should I be embracing? What mutation should I be turning away from? Transformation and mutation.